Thanks for tuning into Upward Way Podcast. If you're looking to be spiritually blessed, moved, and inspired, there is no doubt you are in the right place. On our show, guests recount their encounter with Christ and how their lives have been transformed through the grace and love of God. And now, please welcome our host.
Hello and welcome to Upward Way. I'm your host, Marlon Walters. My guest today is a Canadian Christian gospel artist and songwriter, Elena Young. Welcome to Upward Way.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's really my joy to have you, and I'm so happy, you know, you made yourself available so quickly to share. And I can promise my audience that they are indeed in for a special treat. So I'm going to start with a question that I often ask my guest, and this has to do with your background as an individual. Where and when did you first meet contact with Christianity?
That is a great question, Marlon. I grew up going to church. My grandparents are actually missionaries in the Ukraine, or to the Ukraine, I guess that's a better way to say it. And I grew up in a not so great home. I mean, I had a good home, but my dad was an alcoholic and my mom worked a lot. So my grandparents would take my sister and I to church every Sunday pretty faithfully for pretty much my whole childhood. And then I walked away from the Lord early in my teens. And then I found God again a little later. And, you know, I think it's important that our faith does become our own faith at some point, even if someone has been, you know, born and raised in a Christian home or in a faith. I think it's important at some point that you take the opportunity to make that faith your own. So for me, it was a little later in life, even though I had the upbringing.
Wonderful. As I listen to you, the text we often quote in Proverbs, which says, train up a child in the way he should grow. I suppose it applies to you because you realize that you were missing out on something. Yeah. So as it relates to music, you know, what catapulted you into, not the recording part yet, but what was your initial interest in music?
Oh, I'm a musical person. I just recently found out that there's a name for people like me. I actually have no idea what it is off the top of my head. Synthesis, or something. I don't know. Anyways, we see music in color. Ever since I was a little girl, I have been such a musical individual. Music plays a huge role in how I think, in how I, you know, can process stuff. And so, I mean, I was put in piano. Like, my mom obviously knew that I had a little bit of a gift, if you want to call it that, or an interest, I guess, pretty early. So she put me in piano lessons when I was 3. And I studied classical piano up until I was 14. And then because I was like a rebellious little 14-year-old, I wanted to quit because I stopped liking the conservatory that I was learning. And so I quit. And then I rejoined piano when I was 17 because I really wanted to finish off a particular level I was at. So music is just, it's part of my DNA, I think, in this weird way. My grandparents, on my dad's parents, they were in a band. It was cute. They would go to these jamborees and she would play the accordion and sing, and my grandfather would play the guitar and sing, and he would actually yodel. So I've always just grown up around it, and so it felt pretty natural for me to just be a musical person. In terms of like songwriting and stuff, that was just kind of in me as well. A lifetime of writing poetry and writing short stories, and then it evolved to just writing songs. So yeah, it's just who I am.
So it's second nature to you, in a sense.
Almost first nature. That feels more like a more accurate way to put it, because literally I think in song. It doesn't make me like ultra gifted or this like prodigy child. It's annoying, but it's just, I hear music in everything, for better or worse. Like if it's a ceiling fan, if it's like a subway at a, you know, the train, like I hear frequencies, and it's, oh, it's so annoying sometimes. But I mean, in this sense, I guess it's really cool.
It's that a very fascinating way that you put it, because I've encountered individuals who are kind of like that. not necessarily music only, but you know, maybe they are mathematical and they are seeing math in everything, you know, that kind of a thing. So are you the kind of individual who, you know, like you're eating, you're humming a song sometimes, or someone is talking to you and you just break out into a song? Are you like that sometimes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's to my detriment, I think, sometimes, because they've now given it a name. It's called like auditory processing or something like that, where if I'm somewhere and someone is trying to have a conversation with me, I want so badly to focus on what they're saying, and I'm watching them and I'm watching their mouth move and I'm really trying to retain it. But my brain is thinking about the sounds around me. So if it's like in a store and there's music playing in the background, I'm automatically almost every time checked out of that conversation because I'm hearing the song. Or if it's just like different sounds from a playground or traffic or something, my brain is just like taking it and processing it in this musical way. And I hear time and beats. And again, it's not like I'm this super gifted individual. I think it's just how my brain works. And so it makes sense that I'm doing music in my life, because like, what else would I do?
I understand fully well. I can't explain, but I understand fully well what you're saying. As it relates to the songs you do, because I've been listening to a few of them, I'm not even referring to the latest. I'll allow you to talk about that later on. But in terms of the songs you do know, what is the inspiration behind your music? And then there's a second part I'm going to ask, you know, what do you say make your songs different from maybe other Christian artists? So first the inspiration, and then what you think might make you a bit different from others.
Okay. Inspiration, I'm a real life person that has real life struggles and just real life things. In this season of life, I'll say it this way, I love that I don't have the limitations of a label or someone telling me what I can and can't put out in terms of music. So my inspiration really and truly comes from everyday stuff, real life instances and real life situations, things that weigh really heavy on my heart, things that bring me joy. And I try to sprinkle as much hope in that. And usually when I write, it's to process something that I'm going through, whether it's a thought or a situation or just an overall feeling that I've been having. And so to be able to put out music that has that realness and that transparency, plus the inspiration and the hope that is sprinkled on top, I think that is what inspires me to continue to make music, because I love hearing people that have heard the songs and they'll come and say like, or, you know, send a message like, man, I have no idea how you know exactly what I was going through. Were you reading my mail? Because your song is exactly where I am right now, and that it just brought me so much hope. And I'm thinking like, the song wasn't written from a place of hope. You know, it was written from a really hard or a tough or whatever kind of a place, or just this place of like, you know, being. And I just put hope in there because, you know, there's enough depressing music out there as it is. So I like to add that little sprinkle of something. And I guess that kind of answers your second part of the question as well. Like, what makes you different? And I know there's all kinds of Christian artists out there that are putting out this encouraging, hopeful music. And I love it. I also love that right now in this time that we're in, there has never been more worship music. Like, you don't have to look very far to find beautiful, anointed worship music. So when I, you know, sat down to do this project that I'm putting out right now, I've wanted to do worship music for so long, and I've tried, and you'll hear sort of that undercurrent in the music I have put out up until this point. It's been very like, you can sing it in church. For the most part, it has sort of a worship feel to it. In this season, because there's so much of it coming out, and I'm not trying to compete with anybody, that's not, you know, because we like literally never enough. But I just wanted to be set apart in a sense of like, I want to explore the idea of pop and rock and jazz and just like the genres that I love so much, but that don't ever really make it into the music I create. Just keeping all that in mind and then wanting that message to be hopeful and rooted in real life situations and feelings and thoughts and stuff.
Sounds lovely. I love the part that you mentioned about being set apart. It's the title of a presentation I did some time ago. So when I hear that expression, I remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not want to bow their knees to worship those idols. So I really enjoy that aspect. Now, there's a song I have been listening to that you think it's probably an original. Yeah, I think it's an original. Covered in Love.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't put that out. You really did a deep dive. Yes, that's an original. And I'm so glad you brought that song up because that song was like, that was so important. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I love that song. So I would want for you to, you know, share the background behind this song, if you don't mind, or what it means to you.
Yeah. I'm trying to replay it in my brain. It's been so long since I've even heard the song, but to be totally honest, I don't know if I have like a real inspirational story to go with it or process, but I had written a song in 2015, I think, or something like that. And I went to Nashville for the Immerse conference in 2016, and I was basically competing in a songwriting competition with a GMA, with the Gospel Music Association, and I choked and I didn't make it very far. I made it to the point where I could like perform it in front of the judges or whatever, but during the performance I totally choked, and I just was like, I can write a better song than that. So I went home kind of defeated, feeling a little disappointed, which that's such a whole different life for me right now, because I think like, why did I care so much about what judges were thinking? It doesn't matter. Anyways, and I was like, I need to write a better song. And that Covered in Love was the song that I wrote that was better than the one before, I guess. And the video that you would have seen on YouTube was my submission to the songwriting competition. So like, I can't even remember like the melody in my head. I'm trying so hard to like go through my little Rolodex of songs. But it did really well, and I ended up winning, all that to say. So it was really cool to see the Lord like almost reassure me that you don't need judges and people for me to tell you that you're called and chosen, and I've selected you to minister in this way. But if that's what's important for you in this season, then here's Songwriter of the Year in 2017 if you want, and here's a trophy. In fact, I got two trophies, because the first one said 2107 instead of 2017. And so anyways, it's just this whole thing. Covered in Love. Yeah, I've been thinking a little bit about like a project that I'm planning for the future, like in the next couple of years, and I'm like, oh, I should go through my archives of songs, like instead of focusing so much on songs to write and, you know, that have to be written still. Like, I have so many incredible songs that are out there that I don't even think about. I just have to look for them. This is probably the Lord reminding me, like, don't forget about Covered in Love.
Yes, a part of the reason I love the song, melody aside, you know, like when I listen to the chorus, it says, Emmanuel came from the highest, a perfect lamb died for the lowest. Almighty God robed in a human so I can live again, covered in love, covered in love.
Oh, those are great lyrics. I'm hearing it now. Yes, I love that. Oh, yeah.
Well, the audience will enjoy listening.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the plug.
Yes. As I continue to toss, you know, questions at you, not wanting to be an interrogator, so to speak, but if you could assess, I know this one is difficult, but if you could describe the impact of your music both on your life and that of your audience, you know, how would you say? Because like I said, it's difficult to really measure, but I'm sure sometimes you'd have gotten some feedback from individuals. You know, what has been that impact on your own life and then of that of your audience?
You know, there's a story that comes to mind, and it pertains very well to this question. I don't know. Everybody has such a different style of church and worship, and what does the praise and worship look like at your church versus mine versus theirs? It's all different. But at our church, we have a very demonstrative praise and worship setting. People feel very confident to worship God freely. This morning, for example, they were straight up like Jerichoing around the church because there's just a moment and they just needed to do it. I remember one Sunday, I felt like in my spirit the week before to sing the song Believe For It by CC Winans. And this is when the song was like just coming out. And typically our church will either immediately grab hold of a song or they'll like, you kind of feel the room is what I'm saying when we try out a new song. And so we did Believe For It. And in my eyes and in the back of my mind, like it flopped. People just stared at me. People didn't even bother staring at the words. They were just staring straight ahead and like falling asleep. That's the vibe overall that I got from the room. And one of our ladies that goes to our church actually works at my grandparents' restaurant. So the next day that she was working, she was like, "Hey, can I talk to you for a second?" "Yeah, absolutely." And she was like, "That song that you did on Sunday, I can't remember the name, but something about immovable." And she started saying some of the words and was like, "Oh, Believe For It." And she's like, "Oh, that song just like met me right where I was and it ministered so much." And I remember thinking like, really? You couldn't have like cried a little? You couldn't have like closed your eyes and had a moment with the Lord? You had to just stare at me? How was I supposed to know, you know? And from that moment on, I think it was such a good reminder that processing and worship and feeling and understanding looks so different on every person and also in every season. And when people hear my music, I don't care if there's an immediate like, "Whoa, this is so good," you know, or if it's like pensive and they really need to take it all in. Like, I just want the song to leave a bit of a footprint on their heart in a sense that days later, they're still feeling the effects of the hope that I sprinkle in every song, or they're still thinking about the words and meditating, because my songs that I've put out are all written from a place of scripture. Like, I don't pull these words out of my mumble jumble head and hope that it rhymes, you know? Like, I go to the word of God when I write songs. So in a roundabout way, a lot of times people are singing scripture over themselves. I want that effect, the same effect that it had on, you know, a lady from my church that a couple days later, she was still like really thinking about it and ruminating on this, like, man, I have a mountain in my life and this song helped me to give me the faith to understand that God is going to move that mountain for me. Like, I want that same feeling. And so for other people, that's the hope. For myself, I write and I create as a form of prayer and as a form of conversation with the Lord, as a form of therapy or coping, processing, thinking. And so it's very healing for me to make music. Putting out music, on the other hand, is sometimes it feels like a really expensive hobby. But to put it out and to see that reaction I had just mentioned from other people, and to know that the word of the Lord has been put forth in my music, and just to hear about how it's affecting them, that makes it worth it for sure. It makes me want to put out more music. Makes me want to get another job so I can put out more music. I think it's just, there's so many different avenues to explore in terms of like the effects. But for me, I would say it's healing for sure.
I love that. You know, a bit of a personal thing for me. So when I left high school, I started, you know, writing poems, but it's not that I have been presenting and sharing. And a few years ago, I met a work colleague who had published a book and was telling me to do the same on Amazon. And I didn't do it because I personally didn't feel that what I wrote was actually good enough to share with an audience. But, you know, to fast track, it's something I'm actually working on now.
Awesome.
But I was just reading something recently And the same way you describe, the healing process, I realized that was why I started writing in the first place, feeling a bit down and thinking, I wonder if others are having the same experience. So I would just send inspirational text to them. I wasn't sharing my poems, but I was just sending inspirational text. And some of the poems I wrote, I was feeling down and I wanted kind of a lift, and I would write. So it is something I can really relate to as you speak. Now, there are two things you mentioned that I want to reflect on. The first has to do with, an audience's response to whatever it is that you have done. And the second has to do with, we'd say, feedback. So now we're in the 21st century, and if we go to social media, we put out something, we are looking for the likes and we are looking for the comments, etc. So what advice would you give to individuals as it relates to, affirmation for what you do? Because many times the affirmation comes way down the road. Sometimes it doesn't really come. But should that stop you from doing what you are doing? How do you respond to an individual who would love some affirmation but is not getting it?
That's a great question. I have to try and answer this tactfully, but behind every person that wants affirmation or needs affirmation, I think first and foremost, you need to look beyond what you're doing and look within yourself. And you need to say, why is someone else's opinion of what I create? Why is that so important to me? I think there's healing that could be done in that sense for myself. Like I chase affirmation. It's something that I'm actually like actively working super hard right now to heal within myself. And it's just because I had an absent father, you know. He was present, but he was, emotionally absent, and he was very uninterested, and he was verbally very abusive. So he would say things about me or my mind, and because I was such a And we've talked about my brain already. Because my brain was so wired in this weird abstract way, I was often spaced out. I was often like thinking about creative stuff, you know? And so he would call me names like super degrading and just mean. And so I almost hear that little me inside myself that's saying, like, if you post this and it doesn't get likes or if you don't get playlisted, if your music doesn't, hit an Apple editorial or a Spotify editorial, then you're blank, filling in with my dad's words that I'm not gonna repeat here. But you see the, what's the word? Like the effects of maybe some trauma that's in your life, in my life. And so, first and foremost, like look within yourself and figure out why affirmation is so important to you. Second thing I would say would be, what's your why? Why are you doing the things you're doing? Why are you writing poetry? For you had mentioned it was you were healing, you were in a dark space, and writing was such a healing, process for you to be able to take in and just jot it down and feel the things, like release whatever you're feeling onto a piece of paper and not really, you don't have to carry it around, I should say. If that's your why, if that's the reason that you're creating, and I'm just using you as an example. If your purpose is to feel that weight lifted off of you, then when you don't get affirmation from other people, you can still say, okay, my book isn't selling as much as I hoped it would on Amazon, but wow, it felt so good to put it into a book because every single page represents a weight that lifted off of me and went onto a piece of paper. For myself, it's like putting out music. I mean, it's a struggle because I feel like the market, just in general, and in terms of like business stuff, the music market's super saturated right now, which is really cool because everybody gets the chance to like kind of have a piece of the pie, but then it's harder to stand out. And so I went viral several times back in November, just posting like covers. I am learning music production, so I was using like just some old songs from like the 90s and 2000s, and I would cover them and then post a video on Instagram, and they would go viral. And this happened like several times. And now, like at this very moment, what's the word? Oh, and my following count, like I got 50,000 followers like overnight. And now my followers haven't been going up as much. And my videos that I've been posting haven't really been getting as many likes or as many comments. And I get mad and I get so frustrated because I'm like, oh, we were doing so well. And I've been consistent. The Instagram math tells me that if I post consistently and if I do the things and hashtag the right things, then I'm going to like go, you know, continue to go viral. I'm going to continue to get followers and like maybe I'll break 100,000 followers and I'll be able to like monetize this thing. And it becomes this whole thing. But that's not my why. My why for posting these covers was for me to learn production and for me to be a stronger music producer. It wasn't for me to get followers. So looking within myself and saying, okay, the root of why I'm upset that I'm not getting affirmed in the way that I want to be affirmed right now is actually because my priority shifted and I didn't even see it really go off the rails. It's like when a plane goes just 1 degree off its course, you know, you end up in a totally different area of the world in no time, right? So I hope that answers it. It's a struggle, especially in this culture, in this world that we're living in today where, oh man, like it is so easy to take social media at face value as your worth. And how simple is it for somebody to just, you know, decide one day, I know what I'm worth. I know what the Bible tells me that I'm worth. I know where my identity is, but we never do that. We're just like, oh, man, I know God loves me. And I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that I was formed in my mother's womb and God knit me together and he knows my innermost being and blah, 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 blah. But why am I not getting 1,000 likes on my posts? Like, what's wrong with this? I have 55,000 followers and I'm only getting 1,000 likes. Like, that's only like a something percent, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, we have to just set that aside. We have to redirect our priorities. And once we do that, once you know your why, it's easy for you to shift back, but you have to like sit down and do that. I hope that made sense. I'm all over the place.
It makes perfect sense. I often say to individuals, don't play the numbers game with whatever it is that you are doing, because it's important, but it doesn't tell the entire story. What is it like to, you know, go viral? I know a few individuals who are also content creators in their own way, and I'm sure they would look forward to going viral. So for their sake, you know, what is it like to go viral?
Oh, like, I think I just tripped the algorithm, truly. I didn't do anything real special. I know this sounds crazy, and I'm trying to figure it all out, but I think that God was actually sending me a message in my few times that I went viral. I say that because, and to make this very short, I had been nominated for 5 GMA awards back in, I don't know, September or August or something. And the award show was in November. And I was like, I'm nominated for 5. That's incredible. And the Christian music space in Canada isn't super big. So like, it's a pretty niche market still. And the award show isn't this huge thing. And so I was like, man, I look forward to taking home more than one. I mean, like, I should pack a larger suitcase, like just in case, you know, like all the things. So I get to the award show. I'm like ready to win at least one of these 5 awards. And don't I leave with nothing? So I didn't get any of those awards. And I was sitting on the airplane on the tarmac, ready for takeoff. And I was feeling so defeated. And again, had I easily and quickly just like gone back to my why and been like, Eleni, why do you make music? It's not for awards. I know it's not for awards, but that affirmation in the moment, like, just would have been so nice. So I'm sitting there and I'm frustrated and I'm angry and I'm like, oh, okay, this is all meant to be. And I think that I need to stop doing the artist thing. Like, I don't think I'm meant to be an artist. I'm going to do music production. Like, I've always wanted to do music in this style, not so much as an artist, but more as a songwriter producer. That's originally why I got into the artist thing, was to, like, you know, make songs and send to other people for them to sing. So I'm like, okay, this is obviously my, what do you want to call it? Like a crossroads. And I have to make the decision. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to quit the artist thing and I'm going to just do music producing. And I have to learn. Like, how else am I supposed to learn? But by just immersing myself into it. I had no, like, I knew enough about like using the stuff, but to actually like do it in practice without feeling the pressure of like my own song. So that's when I got home and I sat at my computer and I kind of upgraded to the space that you can see now. And I was like, okay, let's just start with covers. I don't know. So I posted covers. They went viral. And so many of the comments were people asking about my own music. Like, it was like, do you have music out? Where can I find your music? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. When can I get this recording? Blah, blah, blah. I love your version. I love your style. I love your voice. I love your voice. I love your voice over and over. I love your voice. And I'm just like, obviously, if I'm not going to do the artist thing, then my voice isn't going to be important. Like, but if I do the artist thing, I'm going to need to sing my own songs. And so, in this weird way, and I know that anybody can like misinterpret the voice or the hand of God in our lives, but it felt so clear that the Lord was like, I'm not done with you as an artist. And I think the artist thing wasn't so much me writing music and singing music and releasing it. It was me like being vulnerable and transparent and real and having these conversations with people that are like meeting them right where they are, telling my story, sharing my testimony, doing ministry. And I would never get to do that if I was just a producer songwriter. So the viral thing, like I truly can't give any one credit but God, truly, because I have no idea how I did it. I tripped the algorithm is my thoughts. My audio became trending audio, and then like a couple more did, and it just happened so fast, and all of a sudden I was like scheduling, like I had to like make content in batches because I had to keep up with it, and people were all over my DMs. Like at this very moment I have thousands of like DMs from people all over the world that are saying like all kinds of stuff, like weird stuff, cool stuff, bad stuff, and it's just like so much. I almost like want to hire someone to run my social media account, but it's super cool. And very, very quickly, very easily can it become a snare of the enemy. And that is all I will say to that. It takes one success on social media for you to become absolutely wrapped up in your phone and in people's affirmation stuff, but also like the numbers, like you mentioned, and it is such a trap. You cannot fall into that trap.
Wow, well said. And it's so important to get our priorities straight, because that's what I hear you are alluding to in everything. Because mm-hmm. we can miss the why, you know, why am I doing this? So yeah. many ways we can become, you know, sidetracked. This is a question I was going to ask. How do you feel the internet has impacted? But you have already answered that question by virtue of what you have just said. But have you done any form of collaboration with other artists?
I'm working on a couple, actually. I'm super excited. There's been a couple people, like more TikTok, which TikTok is the bane of my existence. It's so much. Like, people there are so weird. Like, it's such a different universe. I'm like, aren't the same people are not on this on all the apps? Like, it's anyways, there have been several people that have like remixed my viral reels, and they have like added their own thing, which has been so cool. Like, one girl I'm thinking of in particular, she's a violinist, and she put a whole string arrangement on one of the songs I put out. It was so cool. So anyways, like, there's that. But I do have collabs in the process. Like, I'm producing the tracks for them for the most part, and I'm trying to juggle all that too, because like I want them to breathe their life into this song or this, you know, this cover that we're doing, and I don't always breathe the same life, so we're working together to like find how both of us can do the thing and sprinkle the magic, work together. It's been really cool though to get to see like how other people's brains work in terms of music. And so I'm really excited. I'm super, super excited. I have some really cool like collab covers coming out. One of them is Oceans Another one is All Hail King Jesus and Here Again by Elevation. So I'm super excited. They're going to be so cool.
All right. We're looking forward to hearing some of those call-ups. This question I'm going to speak to will is one. I know you have touched on some of it already, but this is more, personal. We all go through, we'd say, challenges in life, whether at home, at school, with work. What would you say would have been one of your greatest challenge that you had to overcome? And then in the same breath, what has been your strategy for overcoming the same challenge?
Oh, I think just healing from my daddy issues, if you want to call it that, my absent father, dealing with the narrative and the voices that are in my head that tell me that I'm not enough, that I'm not, that nobody, people think I'm weird, and it's literally all just stems from what people have said to me as a young child. Like, I can hear their voices in my head telling me the things that they would tell me when I was little. And because I was such a creative child, I felt like I was also of like an empath. I felt things so much and I would feel such big feelings. They called me a spirited child, whatever that means. And I really just took everything that everyone would ever say about me. I would take it so personally. I never wanted to make anybody upset, like a people pleaser. So all of that kind of as a whole has been a struggle my whole life. I still struggle with it. I can't say that I've like found a strategy to heal, but I have found a strategy to work on healing. And a lot of that is just it's the practical side, it's therapy, godly counsel. I don't think all counselors and therapists are created equal. You don't want to be going to someone with an identity crisis and getting the world's input and help for an identity crisis, especially not today. So finding godly counsel, godly therapists who are taking you right back to the word of God and saying, "No, Eleni, you're not fill in the blank. You're not this. You're not this. Here's what you are. Here are scriptures to meditate on, to put in your mind and to just ruminate on them when you otherwise want to be thinking about, the other list of things that you think you are based on these people's opinions of you." And so, that's the practical side. The spiritual side, I think, is just surrendering that to the Lord and saying, like, I don't have it figured out, Lord. Like, I don't know who I am completely with you in the picture. I know who I am without you, and that is like not a good picture to paint. But with you in my life and with you guiding me and with your spirit within me, I know what I can be, but I don't feel like I'm there yet. So I need you to help me and fill in the rest. I'll do what I can from, my standpoint of brokenness, and I'll give you the broken pieces, but I need you to come, put them back together, and use that glue, which is the Holy Spirit, to like fill in the cracks and then like fill in the rest of the things I can't do on my own. That's an everyday thing. That's actually like multiple times a day, I feel like. For myself and in my own life, it comes in conversations and so through social media. A lot of times it comes through being a parent myself. And having two young girls who I'm trying to like unlearn things about myself so that I don't project that onto them, which is so much easier said than done. And I always thought I never want to raise kids like my parents did. Like I want to raise them so differently. And like it's such a natural thing to fall into that toxic thinking, that toxic verbiage that you don't even realize like is in your vocabulary until it comes out and you're like, "Oh no, what have I done?" But surrendering that to the Lord and just saying, "God, where there are discrepancies, which there are many, I need you to come in and just take over and fill in the rest." And so it's a multiple times a day kind of thing, not necessarily just a daily thing.
Do you know this song written by Jimmy Swaggart? The title is His Voice Makes the Difference.
Oh. That sounds like an amazing song. I might have heard it. I don't know. I'll have to look it up when we're done. It sounds so good.
the chorus says, you know, his voice makes the difference. When he speaks, he relieves my troubled mind. He's the only voice I hear that makes the difference. And I'll follow one day at a time. So as you shared, you know, your coping mechanism, that's a song I hear playing in my head that, you know, it's really his voice that does and should really make the ultimate difference.
Yeah.
I have two more questions I want to ask you. What has been the best advice you've been given?
I think I gave it already, if you can believe it. I think the best advice I've ever been given was to like write down physically, mentally, note, whatever works the best for you, figure out your why. Because when you have a solid grip and a solid handle on why you're doing the things you're doing, even if it's ministry, you're allowed to have a carnal, if you will, why for something that's ministry related. Like, you know, you're allowed to do that. But as long as you have that why, it's always going to be a compass for what will guide and direct you and making decisions and making relationships with people, putting out music, writing poetry, releasing, holding back. You know, there's so many songs that I have that are unreleased that I want to put out, but they don't align with my why in this season. So I'm not, like, they're just staying in my voice memos on my phone. But yeah, just sit down, jot it down. Like, if you're one of those people that like want to look at it every day, like print it off on a pretty little piece of paper and put it in a frame so that you can see it every day. And then you're just reminded. That would be practical advice. The spiritual advice I would give to someone would be to, and this is really basic, and I'm sure everybody probably could say this same thing, but you can't serve from an empty cup. You can't pour from an empty cup. The advice aspect of that would be to serve from your saucer. So when your cup overflows onto your saucer plate, that is where you should be serving in your ministry, whether it's songwriting or preaching or ministering in some way, whatever that looks like in the spirit world. You truly cannot serve from an empty cup. So when you're so filled up with God and his presence and his spirit and all the things that are good and true and lovely and pure and all, you know, all those things of good report in Philippians 4, you can only serve that to other people. And that actually turns into the fruit of the spirit. And people are literally able to come and like pick fruit off of you because you're serving from that abundance of the good things that God has for you in your life. And by doing things like prayer, daily communion with the Lord, not like bread and wine, but I mean like communication, daily Bible reading and study, daily like filling yourself up. For me, I like to listen to a podcast every so often. I put it as part of my day in like a small way, almost every day. And finding like a biblically sound podcast and listen to like 15, 20 minutes of it, you know, just like fill yourself up with the word of God and then let him work through you and do the thing. You literally cannot give out as on a ministry standpoint from a cup that is empty. You can try, you can fake it and you might make it a little, but there's hundreds, thousands of stories that we hear, some in the news, of people that tried to serve in a ministry standpoint from an empty cup because they weren't full of the Spirit of God or they weren't full of the things of God. And it always turns ugly. So serve from your saucer.
Yes, indeed. You cannot serve from an empty cup. Such a powerful reminder to all of those, you know, who minister. The final question I would want to ask, you know, what's your favorite song to share with an audience?
This is the easiest question you've asked me this whole interview, truly. I love singing the song My Stoning. That song, oh my gosh, the song is so powerful. So I was in the middle of Manitoba, Canada, in this like tiny little town. I was there ministering, if you want. Like it was a conference. There was like 12 people. It was such a wild experience. That's another chat for another day. But I was there. God spoke to me one of the last nights that I was there, and it was so alarming in the way that he spoke to me. Like, I was so taken aback. To make a long story short, someone like you, I was sitting across the table from him, and all of a sudden the noise in the room just went like like I was like underwater. Everything was so quiet and like muffled. This guy, who's a dear friend of mine, he looked at me across the table and we locked eyes and he just started speaking to me. And like we were in this huge like food hall, like, and we were sitting at an 8-person round table. So in no way, shape or form would I ever be able to hear, especially since I already told you, like I already struggled to listen to someone like speaking right in front of me. It was so weird. So anyways, the Lord spoke to me a word that night. It was wild. I went back to my hotel room. I was by myself and I was like seeking the Lord. I was like, what was that about? Like that was wild. And you're asking something of me and I don't want to give it up. At the time it was social media. Like he's just like, you need to not be on social media. And I was like, but I'm putting out a song. And if I don't have marketing on social media, then it's going to flop, you know? And God was like, I'm asking you to do this and I will bless you for it. And so I was like, cool, I'll do it. So I did it. I decided like right there, I was like, yes, I will give up social media for a season, like however long you need me to give it up. And I was just like in prayer and just like experiencing the presence of God in this hotel room. And all of a sudden, out of absolutely nowhere, and within like probably 30 seconds, like top to bottom, I just started writing, like the song came to my brain, and it was like every single word, I had the melody, it was all just up here, that never happens. So I grabbed my phone, I'm like fumbling around the hotel to find my phone, because like I cannot for the life of me forget this song, it's so good. So I'm sitting there and I'm like literally like power writing it down. This is before like voice to text was super cool. And I'm writing it down and I'm taking a voice memo to kind of like try and remember how I want it to sound. And of course I wasn't near a piano. It was like 2 a.m. And so the next day I was flying out. Actually, I flew out at like 4 a.m. So we went to the airport. I didn't even sleep. I got home and I ran, like I have a 2 or 3 hour drive from the airport to my house. So I'm driving home like a crazy lady because I like needed to get to a piano. I got home, my kids are like, Mom, and my husband's like, hey, and I'm just like, bye, see you, I need to get to a piano. So I run to the piano, and I just like, it's like, as soon as my hands could touch the keys, it was like, ah, it happened. The song was birthed, and it was like everything I've ever dreamt of in a song. The premise of the song is the woman, the first part of it is the woman caught in adultery, I think, and then the second part is the woman at the well. And in that moment I was having with God in that hotel room, the Lord revealed to me that I am those women. My testimony is interwoven into those two stories in so many ways. Not that I was ever like caught in adultery or anything, but to be feeling the shame of just like the sin that I was bearing and to have people like stone her, you know, and then Jesus like coming in and picking me up and just being like, where are your accusers? Woman, where are thy accusers? Go and sin no more, you've been forgiven. Like I just like, oh, like I look, I'm getting emotional just talking about it because it's just a beautiful demonstration of the mercy that Jesus has for us. So anyways, to sing that song, it is one of my favorite songs to sing. It is also the song that I probably sound the worst singing because I am so emotional, but it's such a beautiful song. And like without fail, every time that that song gets sung, like there are tears from people all over, mostly women. Women can really identify with that song, but it's just like, it carries such an anointing because it wasn't written by me. I was just like the conduit. So my stoning. In a very long way to answer that, my stoning.
I love the length responses actually, because I enjoy listening to the stories, but I must say thanks, you know, for taking the time out to share with us your story today. So my audience, my guest today has been Eleni Young, Canadian gospel artist and songwriter. And she has shared with you her award that she has won in 2017, but also 2 years ago, 2022, she also won for the Songwriter of the Year as well. So this is someone who has had lots of experience musically. But as you would have listened to her story, the focus hasn't been on herself and her music, but it's just testimony to God. I just want to highlight maybe 2 things from what you have shared thus far, because I will give you an opportunity to do what I call sharing parting words with the listeners. But in a personal sense, the inspiration for her music has been wanting to be set apart, but of course wanting to spread hope through her music. She wants her songs to be leaving a footprint of hope on the hearts of others. It has been healing for her, and she hopes it will be healing for you as well as you listen. So we say thanks for the inspiration. So as we close off, you know, do you have any final words you want to share with the listeners?
Well, I don't know a lot about the demographic of people that listen. I'm sure there's all types of listeners from all walks of life, but I just want to sort of reiterate the importance of just having a really good and solid relationship with God. There are going to be things that you are going to face, or maybe that you're facing right now, that feel absolutely inconquerable. They feel way bigger than you. They feel deeper, more complicated than any solutions that you can come up with on your own. And I'm just going to remind you in this setting to just surrender that to God and to say, this isn't in my ballpark. This is not in my wheelhouse. This is out of my pay grade. I'm going to surrender it to God. I'm going to put my faith, which only needs to be the size of a mustard seed, by the way, I'm going to put my faith in the Lord and his hand. And I'm just going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord as he commands us, well, as he commanded the Israelites in the Old Testament, because God has such incredible things for you and me and all the listeners. And there's no sense on getting hung up on trying to do things your own way when it comes to your situation. So surrender it to God, whatever you're going through, give it to the Lord, stand back, stand still, be silent, let the Lord defend, let the Lord fight for you, and make sure that you just share your testimony afterwards, because that's why we're here. If getting saved was all we needed to do and stuff, he would just take us to heaven immediately. It'd be, you know, that's it, meeting up in the clouds. But we're called to share the gospel, and part of sharing the gospel is sharing your testimony. So as you let the Lord do his work through your life and in this situation, remember that your situation is going to be a beautiful story of faith for someone else later on. So I hope that encourages you. This interview has been so encouraging for me. I just love your heart. I'm super excited to see what you do with your writing and your poetry. So keep us posted.
Awesome. I really love that. You've been in tune to Upward Way. Do join us again next week when we'll have another interesting guest sharing his or her story of faith. Subscribe to weekly episodes on the Apple, AWR, Loud Voice, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podcast Guru apps. You're also welcome to visit Upward Way Facebook page, click like and leave a comment. And if you feel impressed to donate to the ministry, you are more than welcome. Until then, I'm Marlon Walter saying goodbye. May God bless you.
You've been listening to the Upward Way podcast, the number one audio production show for people who want encouragement and reassurance in a muddled world.